the first chapter. Last Sunday morning, I preached on power living. This morning, along the same vein, I'd like to just expand that on living in the power overflow. Actually, the message last Sunday morning was an overflow message, and then I got to Tampa. Brother Rodney's been ministering all week on overflow. So it's just interesting. I remember when Jimmy Swaggart had his radio station at KWJS. We've been on a number of stations over a period of time. And I remember one week when Brother Shambach was preaching a certain subject, Kenneth Copeland was preaching a certain subject, and I was preaching a certain subject. And I'm trying to think, there were four of us on that station, and so help me, all of us, you'd have thought we were in the back room reading off someone else's notes. It's amazing how that God's timing in things, and how God, you know, God's a great organizer. You better thank God for that one. Amen. Praise God. It's just exciting to see what God is doing in this hour. Just from a pastor's heart, I want to continue a theme. You say, well, now what? You got a different pulpit up there. Well, it'll maybe be here another Sunday or two. We'll put it back upstairs in the International Prayer Room. But I just wanted to remind us that there was a day and a time in America when people really needed God. See, this nation had a great beginning, and then they got here, and then their attention turned to gold and money and materialism. And God wants to bless us and prosper us, but prosperity without God's blessing is that's a rough ride. Amen. Everything minus God equals nothing. And I do believe in prosperity. I believe in everything that God has in His Word. I was just thinking how blessed, you know, my life has been. I have pursued His power. I have pursued being a friend of and with men and women who were hungry for God. And I've left a lot of others along the way. I was just thinking this week, two men that God has used in a very significant way, and we've been a part of each of their lives now for a number of years, and on the boards of both Dr. Rodney Howard Brown and then also with Brother Andrew Womack, and precious men of God. Everybody has a little different way of saying it and doing it, but it's the same word. It's the same word. The thing that God has been really placing on my heart, I grew up in a full gospel church, and it's getting hard to find one now. I highly respect our Baptist friends, and there's some Baptist churches in the Metroplex that are doing a fantastic job. I'm not at war with anybody. My father was a Southern Baptist deacon, and Dad loved God with all of his heart. And after a few years, God miraculously touched my father and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mother got it early on, and I had a foot on both sides of the river, I guess. But the side that prevailed was the power side. Amen. And I thank God for it. I thank God for having spent overtime in church and in the things of God. You know, I don't say it unkindly, but you know, what really gets my attention is when I see people hungry for God. That really gets my attention. I love everybody, but it just gets my... And I'm seeing some of you move in and move up. I'm seeing movement in some hearts and lives. And, you know, here's the thing. Dear God, if you don't have some kind of a spark, you don't hang around here long. if you're not serious about church and going to church and the things of God, you don't last long around here. It seems that way. But you see, I believe with all of my heart that we need God more today than we've ever needed God. And America is more materialistic today than probably any other time. You know, you go to the restaurants. I was just trying to get something quick the other evening, and a place where I could go in and get something real quickly and go home with it. My Lord, there's a waiting line out in the parking lot. Americans are driving, overall, Americans are driving better if they want to. And they're living better, living in better homes or apartments or condominiums. Lord, I think of some of those humble places where Joe and I lived when we first started our marriage. You can't get it all overnight. Now some people are trying to do that, but it still costs money. But Americans are blessed. This nation is so blessed. And I have two haunting questions. Where has the fear of God gone? And number two, what would we fight for if we really had to? It's been a long time since we've really had a serious challenge in our nation. It's all been internal, not over. I know we've had overseas conflicts. But you know, during World War II, as a child, I remember people praying and calling out to God. And I'm going to tell you, don't kid yourself. A goodly part of this audience was not even born then. We could have been speaking Japanese or German today, except for the grace and the mercy of God. They got a head start on us, sunk our ships in Pearl Harbor. And it's amazing how the Japanese and the Germans in that era, it was a very serious time. And Americans did everything that you can do to sacrifice. And churches across this land began to have prayer meetings. It was God Almighty that helped us start from almost zero and come back. And it cost a lot of lives to do it. My father went into service. I remember that. It was such an awesome time. When as the oldest boy, they said, now you're the little man of the family. I felt like the weight of the world fell on my shoulders. That was real to me then. But today we have a challenge that's greater than that. It's the challenge of calling a nation back to God. I said it's the challenge of calling a nation back to God. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for the Senate. We need to pray for Congress. We really do. We've got the biggest bunch of weenies we've ever had in our life up in Washington. We need some men and women of God that have the guts to stand up and get this nation back on track. And you know, in the early days of this nation, it was the preachers that called the nation time and time again back to righteousness. And it was men like Jonathan Edwards who preached the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I don't have the exact date before me, but in those early days of America, this was a pulpit that Jonathan Edwards preached over. And in that revival wave at that time, one sixth of America turned to God and was born again. One sixth. Today we kind of played with some numbers. Would it be 53 million, 55 million? 53 million for one sixth of America to turn to God. If it could happen through the ministry of men like this, that one sixth of America could be called back to God, are called to His Son, Jesus Christ, then it's not impossible that 53 million people can be touched by the miracle power of Almighty God. And that's why we reach out in every way we do. That's why we're excited about the days that are ahead with Caris, because we want to reach more people with the Word of God. And I'll tell you something else. There's such a strong Hispanic community here in Greater Fort Worth. My heart is just crying out. We've got to see. God put this church here to see. God put us at the crossroads of the Metroplex, of Fort Worth and the Metroplex, to see the blacks, the browns, the whites, the alls, the Asians, see them come to Jesus. And it has been. I mean, we've come through a shaking. We've come through some very challenging times. But you know what? When I get aggravated at the devil in my spirit, all hell begins to break loose. Glory to God. And I'm aggravated this morning. I tell you, it's time for spiritual revival. It's time for a moving of God's Spirit. And the Word of God said before Jesus went away, these are the final words of Jesus. He met with them and he commanded 500 people to tarry until. They tarried until, because until that time the Holy Spirit had not been given according to the Gospel of John. Holy Ghost had not yet been given. 500 people heard the final words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father after the death, burial, resurrection, Calvary, and all of that, the cross. 500 heard it, 120 did it. You know, being a pastor, I well understand those numbers. I well understand those numbers. And I believe there's going to come back to America. I know there's been preachers that didn't do a very good job of representing Jesus and the kingdom of God and the cross. And we've seen some big preachers crash and burn. And some people say, well, that's why I don't do this and why I don't give and why I don't. No, there's a bunch of us that haven't, though. There's a bunch of us that have not bowed our knee to Baal. There's a group of men and women across America that are standing up stronger than before. And the only way we can do it is through the power of God. Now, he commanded them to go to Jerusalem, tarry till they be endued. Endued means like you put a garment on. You get a covering. You are covered. You are covered with power from on high. How long has it been? And you'll see them around here. We have a number of, I think, good examples around this house. But how long has it been since you've met someone that was so full of the Holy Spirit that you just couldn't deny it? And that's what God has been speaking to my heart. He said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." You say, well, I thought you preached that last Sunday. You haven't heard the last of it. Amen. Ye must be born again. But then he said, being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is an initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, but we leak. And we have a lot of help in leaking. We all live too busy a life. I put myself in that circle. I have to fight it. It's one of the greatest battles of my life to have quality time with God. My life is very complicated. Believe me, I fight for every inch. Not with God, I don't mean that, but I mean my life is complicated. I have a lot of irons in the fire, and some of those irons I have nothing to do with. I mean, I can't help it. And those that know me and know me well marvel that we do what we do and that God has helped us to do the things we've done. And I give God all the glory, all the glory. Thank God God gave me the nature of a fighter. Amen. Amen. All right, enough said about that. But power. What was he talking about when he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you? You say, well, that's preacher stuff. No. That's where we've missed it. Well, that's for evangelists. That's for the teacher. That's for the missionary. That power stuff. You know, we're just, give us a break. We're just little humble laymen, you know, just seeking for a cabin in the corner of glory land. Help us to hold in and hold out to the end as we sink into the pew. No, he said to the church at large, from that time until now, to the uttermost parts of the world, the earth, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't remember if it was one of the points that I thought I had this morning, but let me tell you something. You know, we all live in this tabernacle of flesh. And there's not an honest heart in this room, if they would tell the truth, but would say, there's some area where I'm tempted. No matter how much I love God and go to church and how much carpet time and no matter, there are certain, maybe one bullet will take you out. But I mean, there's an area where I'm tempted. But we don't major in that. The only way to overcome that, you say, well, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? I don't know what it was, but I know that God gave him grace to rise above his flesh. God gave him power to rise above his flesh. It's not a temptation to be, it's not a sin to be tempted. The sin comes in yielding to the sin. And I'm telling you, this is one of the wonderful, wonderful purposes of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in that you can face things that you couldn't face any other way. You can rise above temptation. Didn't say they would not come. But you can rise above that. You don't have to roll over and play dead and make a fool out of yourself. Amen. I mean, there are those that have been delivered from alcohol that said, I've never even had a taste. And there are some that say, you know, every once in a while Satan will come and I can smell it. But you see, when you smell it, just smell hell at the same time. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, rise above it. You don't have to eat everything you smell. You don't have to pursue everything you see. You don't have to yield to every temptation that comes. God gave you power over all the power of the enemy. But you can't do it in your own strength. It must come through the strength of Almighty God. Amen. Just because we're saved and Spirit-filled doesn't mean that we don't have temptations, that we're not tested. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Rise above it. Speak the name of Jesus, and God will anoint you. Well, it means miraculous power. The meaning of that word power, it's dunamis or dunamis, pronounced both ways. It means miraculous power, power that's bigger than you are. It means a worker of miracles. It means supernatural strength. In our weakness, Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. We all have moments of weakness, but then we yield to the higher power and rise to the occasion. I'm saying some strong stuff here this morning. Amen. You don't have to. You say, well, that's just the way our family is. That's just our. No. He said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And this works in temptations. This is how you overcome temptations. Not by mind over matter, but by God's supernatural power over your flesh. Boy, do I feel a pull out there this morning. know, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Help me now. Help me now. Yeah. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to sit home and suck your thumb because you got offended. Amen. You don't have to be mad at the world and lose your blessing and the trump of God sound and you thought it was a car horn. You can overcome. You can live victoriously through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just to blow your horn. The Holy Spirit is not just to run an aisle. The Holy Spirit is not just to have carpet time. The Holy Spirit is for you to be more than a conqueror over everything that Satan can bring your way. You say, how do you know? Because I'm exhibit one. That's how I know. Paul said, the things that have happened to me have turned rather to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. He didn't say the things that have happened to me have turned to a disgrace to the kingdom of God. He said, the things that have happened to me. My Lord, I'm in deep water this morning. He said, the things that have happened to me have turned to the furtherance of the gospel. Hallelujah. You see, Satan coming home having a bad hair day said, man, I ran slap up against somebody full of the Holy Ghost and I couldn't budge him an inch. I couldn't break through. I called for my little demons to come and help me and they said, we're not getting involved with that. We've messed with that person. We know what they're capable of. They live in the overflowing power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you live in the overflow, you overcome. When you live in the overflow, you experience the miraculous. When you live in the overflow, you experience signs, wonders, and miracles. So it means supernatural strength, virtue. Ability, virtue, that's an interesting word. It's an inherent power residing in you by the power of God. The power for performing miracles. Moral power. Oh, hallelujah. Dunamis is power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. You say, well, I'm just one. I heard this. You see, I've not only partaken of the gum on the bottom of the church altar when I was a kid. I've heard all the testimonies through supposedly testimony. You remember the one I shared with you the last week, the precious lady, she'd stand up with a sad face and she wondered why her husband never would agree with her and come to church and get right with God. She said, the mill of the Lord grinds slow, and she'd slither down into her seat. Pray for me that I'll hold out to the end as they plop back into the pew. Listen, God didn't put us here to mark time. God put us here to storm the gates of hell. Take back what the enemy has stolen. So if Satan has come against your marriage, take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Satan's come against your finances. Recognize who the thief is and call it in sevenfold. Call it back. Call it back. Get aggressive about it. Get aggressive about it. Some people like a little, when we lived downtown, we had that, 110,000 square feet First Baptist Church down there. We had two or three live-ins at all times, just keep doors locked or closed or supposedly for security. We had one little Wally Cox. God love his heart. Someone had a key, got in the building one night, and in that dark hall, they heard him down at the end of the hall stepping out of where we had the live-ins. He said, "You, I know someone's here. I know you're in the building. But if you don't bother me, I won't bother you." You know, that's just like some Christians. You don't bother me, I won't bother you, Satan, you know. Oh, God. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. Oh, there's so much. You know, last Sunday, I am praying. And you know what? We all need this. I mean, we need this. You know, we need that overflow. We need the businessmen need the overflow. We need the overflow. Investors need the overflow, the wisdom, the anointing of God. We need the overflow in witnessing. There's times you witness it just feels like you slam dunk against a concrete wall. But there's other times it's just like it's a setup. It's a setup. Anytime someone around you says, oh, I've got such a headache. Oh, that's your opportunity to pray for the sick. When someone says, oh, you don't know what I'm going through with my child, that's your opportunity. Because if you pray for people, they'll let you get closer to their heart and you can win them to Jesus. Witnessing, depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in reading the Word. Don't just read the Word like it was the morning newspaper. Ask the Spirit of God, Lord, open this as I read it. And sometimes you're not able to read that 4 chapters or 8 chapters you thought. Sometimes you get hung up on 1 or 2 or 3 verses. But meditate them. Write them out. Get revelation knowledge. Let God speak to you. Amen. In reading the Word of God. Oh, the anointing of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need the overflow of God's Holy Spirit. Salesmen need this. Salesmen need this. Salespeople need this. I talked to someone just the other day. They said, I've learned that when I'm just up against a no-go, a no-sale, and I have something good to sell and they need it, yet I can't quite get past that barrier. Said, I've learned. Praise God, I've learned to depend on the Holy Spirit. Learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. In traffic, depend on the Holy Spirit. My mother, every time we'd go downtown, she'd pray for a parking space. I said, come on. And she'd always get one. When we needed some furniture, she'd say, I'm waiting for a sale. I'm praying about a sale. I'm not going to pay full price. And so help me, she'd find a sale. Hallelujah. All it does is save you money. Excuse me, you know. Praise God. Take God on your vacations. Pray about your vacations. Almost everyone that I meet who comes back from a vacation said, I'm so tired. Just worn out. Pray about your vacation. God may want you to take a vacation in the backyard, on the back porch. Just take the phone off the hook and save money. I don't know. Maybe so. Who knows? Reading the Word, preaching and teaching. I'm so dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be, I try to be. While Peter yet spake the word, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. In prayer can be boring, or prayer can be breakthrough. We used to have an expression, pray through. And then some made fun of that, and then it's fallen by the wayside with some people. There's a real truth there. You know, the biggest thing in prayer is to get yourself out of the way and get into the presence of God. I mean, there's times, if these people have 30-minute services, it takes you 30 minutes to settle down after you get to church. I mean, you're not even ready to hear the word yet. Why do we have praise and worship? That's not showtime. That's, well, is it long or short or funny or is it contemporary or is it old? Just whatever it is, just go with the flow. Amen. Quit critiquing everything. Just enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride. You know, in a real Holy Ghost service, I've been reading and rereading that. You know, the man found the pearl in the field. Found the pearl in the field, but he had to buy the field to get the pearl. And you know why so many don't have pearls? Because they don't want to buy the field. They want to pick and choose. Well, I like this or I don't like that. Why don't you just come and just sit down and say, Holy Ghost, just do your thing. If it's quiet, it's quiet. If it's loud, it's loud. Amen. If it's funny, it's funny. If it's sad, it's sad. Just buy the field. Get the pearl. Because God does different things at different times. Now, I mean, some people don't understand this. Every church service is not supposed to be the same. The same Holy Ghost is there. The same Jesus is there. But God does different things at different times. And that's why you need a variety of services, because God is a God of variety. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God does different things at different times, in different ways, in different keys. Just depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I told you the story about years ago. I remember a very special friend of mine. He said, I went to this conference. He said, if I ever needed to hear from God, I needed to hear from God. He said, man, I was so dry. And he said, I got there and the principal speaker had a big mustache. And he said, oh God, I hate mustaches. I can't receive from this man. He, look at that mustache. Just look. I don't have one, and I don't know why he has one. And the Spirit of God dealt with him, and he said, you know, before that conference was over, I got more from the man with the mustache than I got from anybody else. He found the pearl, and he bought the field. It's sinking in. Just let it go. Just let it sink in. You find the pearl, and you buy the field. You don't pick and choose. You just say, let God be God. Praise God. You know, there's short services and long services. Every service is not exactly the same. Bible said in Acts that Paul preached a long time. Long time. Long time. So long that a man fell out of the third story. That would hurt, you know. He died. He fell from the third floor. Went to sleep because Paul preached so long. Paul went down, raised him from the dead, and went back and started preaching again. Lord, I've almost seen it all, but I haven't seen it all. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. In our giving to God, Think about that girl, that little 13-year-old girl. I'm going to break my piggy bank. I want to give everything I've got to Jesus. And how, God literally broke that service wide open by a 13-year-old girl who just opened her heart. It was so God, you couldn't touch it. You couldn't touch it. All you could do is just receive it. It's all you could do. You know, God has so many ways past our finding out. God has so many ways, and He's just such an awesome God. It's really interesting. Brother Eric Gagnon, I believe they're supposed to be here when Brother Rodney's here, when he comes back again. When he surrendered his life to go into the ministry, they had a multimillion-dollar business, and he had a beautiful Porsche automobile, convertible, and that went by the way. Everything went by the wayside to just follow Jesus. And you know, this week a man called him and said, "I have something to give you. I need to see you when I get to Tampa." And he said, "It's some paperwork, so I need to see you." I don't know how he did the paperwork. I think they did that by automation, whatever. But then he called him and he said, "I'm out at the Tampa airport." He said, "I've left something," and he told him where he left it. And he said, "The keys are on top of the wheel." And it was a Porsche just like the Porsche that he gave up to go into the ministry. The title was there and the keys were there. You say, "Well, that was him." Well, what about you? Why not? I like that. See, that's what I'm saying. Why not? Why didn't he give it to me? You know, I was kidding him. I said, "You know, I'm going to tell you what I told him." Anyway, but it just shows God has all kind of surprises. You know, when you live in, thank you, Lord. When you live in overflow, you experience supernatural surprises. Surprises on your job. Surprises in your finances. Surprises in your marriage. Some of you think you know your wife. You don't really know her yet. Amen. Just any day, God could give you a new wife in the same body. I don't know where that came from. It's just amazing what you'll say when you're under the anointing. See, some of you looking pretty serious out there, all right? Oh, let's see. Give you a couple of more here. And some of these I shared last Sunday. You know, in your giving, just supernatural overflow. And you know, here's something, just make a true confession. You know, I've had to leave a lot of things behind to be wherever I am today. I've had to leave a lot of folks that I thought were my friends behind. You know, the people you hang with will hold you back, or they'll help jettison you forward. You just can't hang around negative people. It costs too much. You can't hang around critical people, bitter people. Just, amen. Every move of God I've gone through, I've lost friends that I thought I had. But how can you lose a friend you never had? A friend loveth at all times. A real friend loveth at all times. Loyalty is more than skin deep. Loyalty goes a long way. But I've got some friends I've kept through several moves of God, several shifting of gears, and they're just nothing like having real, genuine friends and relationships that God gives you. What I'm saying, and I don't have to, I'm just going to have to keep working on this. We'll hit some of this Wednesday night. God wants us to live in the overflow. Thank God for everything you've received. But let me tell you, there is more for all of us. Believe me, there is more for all of us. I want to say it again. There is more for all of us. We all need more. More of, I know we have him, we have his fullness, I know all the in him verses, and I believe them with all my heart. But then there's the overflow. It's pretty wild the other night. John and I, we went back to the hotel, And it was kind of late about that time. And we were in a separate vehicle, but one of the vans rolled up from the meeting. Two ladies got out, and they were just laughing. I mean, it was midnight, but they were just laughing. They were having a great time. And it was just contagious. And they walked in the hotel and walked through the lobby, and they're still laughing. They get on the elevator, they're still laughing. They get off the elevator, I hear them laughing going down the hall. I don't know what the rest of the hall thought the rest of the night. I mean, they really had a touch of God in their life. And the next morning, one of them said, "Do I need to was that Pastor Bob Nichols on the elevator?" "Yeah." "Do I need to apologize?" I said, "Oh, no, he was enjoying all that." Amen. You know, it's just amazing when people are really genuinely touched by God. Everybody responds a little differently, but I mean, they were still happy the next morning. And the thing that I want to share, you know, let's just purpose in our heart. We're going to start living in the overflow. Listen to me. I'm going to sleep in the overflow. Going to sleep in the overflow. I went to sleep one of those nights. Went to sleep and I'd been busy and whatever it was. And I had the most crazy dream I ever had. I mean, I'm fighting with idiots. I mean, I thought, what am I doing here? Well, you know, I mean, wherever I was, I don't even know where I was. You know, I woke up, I was just worn out. You know, I've been fighting with idiots. And I don't know these people. I don't know what this is all about. You know, you ever have just a dumb dream? And then it dawned on me, I didn't pray before I went to sleep. So the next night I said, I want to go to sleep in overflow tonight. I want a good night's rest. I'm not going to have one of those stupid, crazy, whatever it was. It's just nuts. Like I took a nut pill or something, you know. Just God have mercy. And I had a very pleasant night's rest. God wants us to live in overflow. God wants us to drive in overflow. God wants us to live in the abundant overflow of God. Hallelujah. Any volunteers here this morning? The word power is more than just, it's more than just receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's living in overflow. That when the worst comes, you just laugh. You just laugh. You just laugh. You just rejoice. Rejoice. You need to start doing that right now. Just get a head start on the week. Just rejoice. Just rejoice. I'm through. That's all I can do this morning. Overflow. Overflow. Living in overflow. When my body says no, I live in overflow. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, get it, and I'll let you out of here. Come on, get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to live in overflow, the overflow of rejoicing, praise, and worship, and the things of God. Hallelujah. Come here, baby. You see, everybody can't live with joy. I live with joy. She said, me. More than you, baby. Amen. Yeah, you've got the joy of the Lord. And I do most of the time. You just live that way. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Let's praise our God today. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I want to live in the overflow. I want to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. Power to live. Power to win. Power to do business. Power to have a successful marriage. Power to raise your children. Power to rise above negative situations in life. Everyone standing with me, if you would. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise God together this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's good, isn't he, baby? Good all the time, isn't he? Hallelujah. This girl has never said, Bob, what's in it for us in the ministry? She just said, I follow you as you follow the Lord. We've had a wonderful life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for a woman of God. She was raised in a pastor's home and then married a preacher. She's a faith woman. Oh, praise God. Let's praise God here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Yeah, soon she will sit down here just. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, some of you haven't seen that girl at full steam ahead. She is a woman of God. I don't remember whether it was Susan or Janet that said, you know, the only time I ever feel sorry for the devil is when Mama really gets on it in prayer. She gives the devil what for. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you this morning that we can live in the overflow. We don't have to live under life. We can live on top of life. Your word said ye shall receive power, supernatural, miraculous strength, ability, insight, favor, prosperity, health, healing, dunamis, dynamite power. Hallelujah. Some of you are going back to your job with a whole new mindset. Most of you should go back home with a whole new mindset. Your house is going to look different. Your car is going to drive different. Hallelujah. Get ready for overflow. I said, get ready for overflow. Hallelujah. Get ready for overflow. Get ready for overflow. Life is not boring. Life is victorious. Hallelujah. Oh, life is victorious. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, victory in Jesus.